We're in of studying God's word through the Psalms, the Tehillim. You know, this has been a really encouraging sermon series for me. I'm the one giving it, but I'm going through it as you're going through it, and I'm learning and I'm growing. And let me just tell you, if you haven't picked up one of our rack cards, these are our cards we have in the foyer. We just got a new shipment in, so we've got plenty more of them, and I want you to pick one up. Also, if you're watching us virtually, and many of you are, they're on our. It's on our website. You can download it. You can, you know, print it off. It's very helpful because it demystifies the Psalms. And I just want to share one little thing with you about this. You know, there's 150 Psalms. It's a lot. We're going through 62 today. So we've been going through systematically. We're on Psalm 62. And I just want to share with you about connections. Just for a minute, it's not even part of my message. In the spirit of Azari talking in the Drash about connections between, in that case, Joseph and Yeshua, we see so many connections that God puts in his word and through his word. There is five broken down books of the Psalms, 150 Psalms, but five books. And each of the books has a kind of a theme to them. It's a collection of Psalms within the Psalms total book. Now, if you look at your rack card, if you have it with you, or you can look at it later, book number one, which is Psalms 1 through 41, were personal Psalms. Book two is deliverance and hope for the future, and on and on. The five books of the Psalms parallel the five books of the Torah. Okay, so here's the parallel for you. You have Genesis, obviously the first book, corresponding to book number one of Psalms or personal Psalms. This is where God reveals himself within creation and for his people Israel. He comes, he creates a people, he nurtures them, and he's with them through the first book, the book of Genesis. We read about the genesis of all of that, of Israel and of God and of creation. So there's the parallel there. But book two of the Psalms is about deliverance and a hope for the future kingdom of God. And it parallels the book of Exodus. And of course, in the Exodus, the children of Israel are in Egypt, then they go into the wilderness, and it's this journey of a hope for the future. And that future is Eretz Yisrael, right? The land of Israel, the promised land, and there's so much spiritual significance with that. So I want you to see that in book two, which is what we're in of the Psalms, it's all about deliverance and hope for the future. And what do we see throughout these Psalms in book two? Psalm after psalm, week after week, we're talking about Mashiach. We're talking about the future deliverance, the future salvation, the hope that we have in Messiah Yeshua. He's revealed through the Psalms of David and other psalms in book two. And it's interesting that Psalm 62, within book two, while we're in the Exodus, and make no mistake, we're still in our Exodus here in this world right now until Yeshua's return. Psalm 62 reminds us of that coming hope, that coming rock, and the title of the message is Rock, Salvation, and Fortress. This is Yeshua for us, and this is what David is talking about in Psalm 62. Now, this psalm, like 61, was meant to be sung. It was meant to be sung as a song. The heading says, according to Jeduthun, most of you have that heading in your Bible, or Yudatun in the Hebrew is a type of an instrument. And again, it's probably an instrument that's been lost to history. We don't really have those things lying around now. Or it could be the name of the Levite who was the musician that was charged by David to sing this psalm. And we know even in the first temple, so we're going back years and years and thousands of years, even in the first temple, it said that the priests during the time of the sacrifices would say the Shema and they would say the Psalms. And we have examples of that as we've gone through. So this very well could be this person, this Levite that was tasked to sing Psalm 62 for David and for the Lord. Now in this psalm, we see David acknowledging and seeing the Lord as his all in all. He's the rock. He's the salvation of David, and he's also David's fortress. So he talks about that at the beginning of the psalm, and then he contrasts that with the exact opposite of all those things, the depravity of man, the sinfulness of man. He says, God is strong, but man is weak. God is loving and just to us, but man is many times sinful and unjust. So you see the clear contrast there. And the psalm ends with David telling other people, teaching other people about Hashem, about his chesed, about his steadfast love that he has for all of us. So it's a beautiful psalm. It's a beautiful song paying tribute to the awesomeness of God. So we're going to go through it today. Let's begin the first two verses of Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. There's a lot of things here. My soul waits in silence for God. So much to talk about. We can start with the fact that, just a little quick aside, the Hebrew doesn't actually say God alone. There's no mention of that in the actual Hebrew. But the implication, of course, is there. That's why I believe all these English translations have for God alone. But David is acknowledging here, he's even declaring that God is God. He starts right off in this psalm. A lot of times in the psalms, he's starting off in a really dark place, a very desperate place. Not so much this psalm. David's starting out right off the bat. He's saying, you know what? I'm declaring that God is God, and only God is God. There is no other one. There is no great king that's equated with God. There is no other gods here. God is God, and God is God alone. And this is David's declaration. But this is also our declaration. In Judaism, there is the declaration that we say all the time. It's recited twice each day, and it's called the Shema, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Of course, hear means, is Shema. It means to hear, but also to listen, but also to obey. So the declaration is, God is one, and I'm obeying he who is one. He who is has no other. He who is God alone. Now, Psalm 62 says, my soul, David's talking, my soul waits. What is that? What the breakdown of that in the Hebrew is, of course, the word for soul, there's a few words for soul in Hebrew. The Hebrew used here is nefesh, and it means your soul or yourself, all of you, your life, your entire life, spiritually and physically and also. Your soul, it's a representation of all of you. And so all of you, all of him, waits, dumia, which means silence, waiting in silence, in stillness. You know how sometimes you have to wait? Hanukkah's here. Hopefully you're getting a lot of gifts. I don't know. Maybe 8 gifts. But the waiting, the anticipation of getting things. Sometimes we wait, but it's like we're waiting and we just can't wait any longer, but we're just holding back. It takes everything to hold back. That's not this kind of waiting. This is waiting with a calmness, with a peace, with that stillness that you have in your life. It indicates there's a shalom, there's a peace that you have because you trust in God to do the work. You ever had a situation where you're trying to teach maybe your kids something or trying to teach somebody something at work and you're just like, oh, they're doing it wrong. I just want to go over there and fix it, but you hold back. That's not what this is about. This is about, I don't have to do that because God's got this and I trust and I believe he's going to do it right. So I'm just kind of chilling back here. I'm just kind of waiting in calmness, in peace. Not trying to do it myself because I believe God is there to do it. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says this, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. This is a great thing for us to practice, is the peace of God. When the world is chaotic and swirling around, and many times we can get very much in a state of unrest. We can be fearful. There's a lot of fear out there, even in the body of Messiah. Have you noticed? Sometimes we're people within that we have fear. When we see terrorist attacks, when we see terrible things happening to the Jewish people and to all believers, we're nervous. We get scared. It's normal, but it's not biblical. Because biblically, we need to trust that God is in control. So we have to practice this. This doesn't come naturally. We have to trust that God has got everything. We have to trust that we don't know everything, but trust that He does. And we can have that peace that He gives us. Now in verse 2, it says this, God is my rock, my salvation, and my fortress. If we look at those images that God gives us here through David, a rock is sturdy. A rock's not going anywhere. It doesn't just break apart, right? It's a sturdy thing. Salvation is when you and I are delivered. We are removed out of that bad situation and we are delivered unto a good situation. Salvation. And a fortress is safety to us. God is a safe person. And, you know, we should have safe communities. Unfortunately, within the body of Messiah, there's been a lot of abuse, whether it's clergy abuse or just abuse in general to the poor, or to the lowest among us, to the least of us. And that does not engender safety. But God is someone who you can always run to for safety. And this is so important that God repeats it. The terms for God are repeated again in the psalm. Psalm 62, 5, 6, and 7. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. So you think he's thinking that God is rock and salvation and refuge? I think so. I think he believes it. And we know that if something is repeated in Scripture, we need to really take note because God is emphasizing this to us. So who do we rely on to keep us sturdy and strong in our lives? Who or what do we rely on to deliver us from our troubles? Who or what do we rely on to keep us safe? Where is the source of safety for you and I? It should be the Lord. It should be God. Now, for us as followers of Messiah Yeshua, we believe this even though we continue to struggle. We say God is our safety and we believe it. We know He is right in here. But when we go out in the world, there's potential for harm still physically. And so we know all of these things as followers of Yeshua, but then the problems still continue. The illnesses still happen. So yes, Yeshua is in our hearts providing these things, but there's also this point of a future hope. And this is where this connection with book 2 of the Psalms and a future hope to look to. It's not all over yet. This isn't heaven. I'm thankful this isn't heaven because this doesn't feel like heaven. And heaven is going to be much better than us, or eternity is going to be much better than this that we have here. So we're looking ahead to a future. We're looking ahead to a hope, a full salvation, not only a partial. I mean, we're saved, don't get me wrong, but it's internal. We're going to be fully saved physically when Messiah Yeshua returns. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. When all things are subjected to Him, that hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen in the future. When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to Him who put all things in subjection under Him, that God may be all in all. Did you catch all of that? When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself, Yeshua, will also be subjected to Him, the Father, who put all things in subjection under the Son, that God may be all in all. That's going to be an awesome day. Now we're going to continue with Psalm 62. Future hope, remember. Psalm 62, verses 3 and 4. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. So this has taken a very sharp term, hasn't it? We were talking about the greatness of God. He's so sturdy. He's so safe. And then all of a sudden, this is anything but safe. He's now talking about these men that are coming after him or coming after people. We get a glimpse of what David might have been going through during this psalm. Perhaps this was one of those times where he was running from King Saul, as most of the psalms in book two have been, could be. But he speaks of people that would want to see himself and others fall. They want to batter him, it says. That's what I'm reading from the ESV. Many of you have probably the word batter, like batter him down, like an unsteady or a damaged or a weak fence or wall. You can see it's just rickety, and it can come down with any gust of wind or any evil intended person doing something. But if we go to the original Hebrew here, it's much worse than somebody battering you down. The Hebrew is ratzach, and the literal translation is murder. It's premeditated killing. So they're really not just, they just don't want to say a bad word about you. They want to kill you. They want to have you be murdered. They want to murder you. Sounds like one another one of David's Psalms, Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. I didn't see what soul was. It probably is nefesh in the Hebrew there, but you get the picture. They're coming against me. They want not only me physically dead, but they want me spiritually dead. I mean, this is like all of you we want to kill. We want to premeditatively murder you, to kill you. Now, in verse 4, we go back to verse 4 of Psalm 62. It says, these people bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. So these aren't people coming to you and saying, I want to murder you. Let's murder you. Now, there's that going on. Don't get me wrong. But this is even more deceitful, because these people are coming to you with smooth talk. Oh, you know, love you and da-da-da-da-da. But they're planning evil inwardly. They're being deceitful. When people lie, it's one of the most abhorrent things to God. Proverbs chapter 6, don't take my word for it. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. That's only three. You can read the rest if you'd like. But there it is right there, a lying tongue. We know that the most important commandment there is to love God. And next to it, as we say it every Shabbat, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And the Torah and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You and I actually need to be very careful as believers to not attack others. It's really, really grievous to God when we see people slandering, speaking Lashon Hara against other believers, let alone other non-believers, but it is really abhorrent to God. And we see this. We see the sinfulness of man. We see the depravity of man. And we see that God wants to bless, but many times man wants to curse and to hurt, to destroy, the exact opposite purpose that God has for us. But now let's go back to Psalm 62, and we're going to read verses 8 through 10 as we continue along this psalm. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And then there's that Selah, there's that pause, which is a musical pause. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Now David has so far spent this song, putting his trust solely and completely in God, and then criticizing those who would go against God's ways and who would wish and do evil against him and others. But now what he does in the latter part of the psalm is he instructs the people that are listening, the readers of this psalm, you and I, even thousands of years later, he instructs us to put our trust in God, to pour out our hearts to God. You can't pour out your heart to somebody, anybody, if you don't trust them. It's really like, that's being a fool if you do that. So when he says, pour out your heart to God, obviously the implication is because you have faith. You have faith in him. You have faith in what he's doing in your life. You have faith in what he's going to do in the future. You have a hope in the future. We need to have that faith. Unless we have that faith, we can't then come to God and be vulnerable towards him. And this is what David is instructing us to do and to be. And notice it says, God is a refuge. This is in verse 8. God is a refuge for us. Us. He says sometimes God is a refuge for me, but he says for us. And this goes back to what Jennifer spoke about earlier. This is a communal aspect of our faith. Judaism is very much a community type of religion and faith. We have our siddurs. In our siddurs, every siddur, it talks about we, us. It's together, coming together as a community. We're not meant to work out our faith, live our lives in isolation. We're meant to do it together so that we can be together, praise and worship God together, and encourage each other together. You can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. When Rav Shaul, who wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians, is talking about the coming of the Lord, the return of Yeshua, he says this, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." So he's encouraging you to do it, but to continue doing it, because this is what we need to be doing within community. This is why we have congregations. This is why we have community. Now let's look at verse 9 of Psalm 62. We see throughout this psalm that David is contrasting God with man. Verse 2 tells us that God is strong, sturdy, deliverer, savior. In verse 9, David says that people, in contrast to God, are weak, but a breath. He says they're but a breath. What that means is here today, gone tomorrow. A breath is like we take a breath every second or so, you know, but a breath. And those that puff themselves up are simply delusional. Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Now that's very interesting, because it says you're deceiving yourself if you think that you're something. But then it says you have reason to boast in yourself. What's all this? What does all this mean? Well, let's drop down to Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows, so this you and I working, sowing to the Spirit, to the Ruach, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So without God by ourselves, we can do nothing of spiritual consequence, truly. But aligned with God, with his Spirit, with his Ruach, you and I can do things for the kingdom of God. We can do lasting things. And this brings us to the remainder of Psalm 62. It all ties together. Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, the power belongs to God. Okay? Verse 12. And that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. For you will render to a man according to his work. What's interesting in all of this is that many times within the body of Messiah, we have this idea that we're just sinful and bad. You know, some denominations or whatever hit this more than others. I'm so bad, I've got to flog myself. Yes, I've accepted Yeshua, but there is nothing good in me. I'm totally bad, and I have to continue to do penance all my life. Well, listen, we all sin. We all still continue to do bad, to do evil. But that doesn't mean that we need to be in this perpetual state of saying, nothing I do is worthy. I'm nothing because I'm not God. God wants to use you and I to partner with him. There's actually this idea in Judaism of tikkun olam. Tikkun olam is man partnering with God in order to accomplish things for his kingdom. God wants you and I to be his hands and feet. God wants you and I to be vessels for him. He could do it all himself. He doesn't want to. He wants to partner with you and I to do it. Doesn't mean that you and I are somehow now God. Not at all. We have the Lord in us. And with that partnership, you and I, you and God together, me and God together, us and God together, there is real lasting spiritual work that we can do that means something. So we have to believe that. Power belongs to God, but we can tap into that and work with him in order to accomplish his purposes. So Psalm 62 is very much a teaching psalm. It's teaching you and I. It's teaching us who God is very, very clearly. He's a rock. He's our salvation. He's our fortress. We need to remember these things. We need to know these things. He repeats it in the psalm because it's important to know. But also man is inherently sinful. We have a fallen nature, and we our go-to, our default is to mess up and to sin. However, if we get aligned with God, you'll be amazed. When you die to yourself, when you allow God to come into your life, you'll be amazed at how aligned with God you and I can see his purposes and his plan and his will unfold for his kingdom. You and I today can help bring about that. And that's what he's called each and every one of us to do. So be encouraged with these words. May it spur you and I on to getting up each day and serving God. Serving God, knowing that we are making a difference for him, for his kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful psalm of instruction. It teaches us who you are. It teaches us who we are, but it also teaches us who we can be in you. And I'm thankful for that reminder, Lord, and that encouragement today. May we all be encouraged to align ourselves with you so we can work together with you for your kingdom purposes. We thank you and praise you, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen.